I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We began a look last week at the kingdom of God. I'm going to do a short recap on that just to get us all in the flow of what we're sharing and talking about. But we began a little series last week on the kingdom of God. I really don't know how many messages will be involved in it. But several. I want us to have a greater and a better understanding of what the kingdom of God really is. And in Matthew chapter 7, 6, did I say 7? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking here. This is, of course, is the kingdom sermon, is true. The sermon of the Sermon on the Mount. And what he has given here in the sixth chapter is he's talking about mammon, and he's talking about the things concerning mammon. He's talking about the things that the world seeks after, and all the things such as clothing and food and raiment. He says it takes faith to get these things. He says, but this is but little faith. And you can read that chapter, but you can look in the 30th verse, or the 29th verse. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And he's just talked about the lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not so much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Little faith is clothing and raiment and things and mammon. But he goes on and he gives to us a greater revelation, a much greater revelation. And all through this chapter, he's talked about things. And then in verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that good to know that all we've got to really do is seek after the kingdom? If we can do what that verse of Scripture that we talked about this morning said to do, if we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and then truly understand the truth of loving not our lives unto death, if we can understand that principle, that is seeking the kingdom of God, if we can but understand that, then we can truly understand that things just happen. Things just happen. God's got a way of putting His kingdom together when you seek after it. But seek ye first the kingdom, not second or third or fourth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all the other things will just be added to you. Now I want to shortly recap what we talked about last week. I told you that the enemy has taken the term kingdom and has made it a bad word in the church. And when you say kingdom, you frighten people. And they immediately link you up with the Jehovah's Witness. And they immediately link you up with strange things. And when you began to speak kingdom to them, they began to draw away from you. The enemy has taken the term kingdom and made it a bad word. Do you associate with what I said about that last week? And I challenged you last week to stir up all the emotions in you that about the negatives of the kingdom of God, and that I was going to try to annul those things and destroy those things, the ways of thinking in your life about the kingdom and the term kingdom. And then we looked in Matthew chapter 4, 17 and verse 23. Let's just turn there. We're right here at it. Matthew chapter 4. And we talked about Jesus, and we decided and we determined that every teacher of the Word of God must line up with the things that Jesus taught and teach the same way that Jesus taught and the same message which Jesus taught. And the term gospel, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it tells you that the word gospel means the good message. And right there in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4, it says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the message of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, you've got to begin to associate the message of the kingdom with healing and disease and deliverance, because that's where it really happens, is when it's the kingdom. It's the kingdom that does it. It's the message of the kingdom that brings forth. They're associated. They're together. and also in verse 24. And his fame went throughout of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And what message did he teach? The message of the kingdom. So we saw immediately, the first thing that I showed you last week was that Jesus taught the message of the kingdom. Now what do you want me to teach? Okay. And associate healings and miracles and deliverance and those things with the kingdom of God. And that's what we all want to see. We all want those things. And they come through this message. Was Jesus a Jehovah's Witness? But he witnessed for Jehovah. And then we saw that Paul preached the kingdom of God. And we looked in Acts chapter 19 and verse 8 and chapter 20, 25, verse 25 and 28, 30, 23 and 28 and 31. And we saw there that Paul preached the same message that Jesus preached. And that was the message of the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, that we are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So then we are building. What that means is that we've got to build on what they laid the foundation of. Right? And what was the foundation that they laid? The message of the kingdom of God. And so what I preach to you and what I share must be built upon that foundation. Must be. Paul went as far as saying in Galatians 1 verse 8 and 9, he says, if an angel comes to you, or if any other messenger comes to you and preaches you anything else, let him be accursed. So I think I ought to teach the kingdom. We looked at the terms in comparison, in relationship in the New Testament, and we saw the numbers of times that the term kingdom was used and the numbers of times that the word church was used. And we saw overall that the term kingdom was used 162 times, and the times the church was used was 115 in the New Testament Greek. But we hear a lot more about church than the kingdom. And we saw that the church is the instrument in the kingdom. The kingdom is everlasting. It's from generation to generation. In Matthew chapter 13, it says that the kingdom of God is likened unto. The kingdom of God is likened unto. The kingdom of God is likened unto. Well, when is? Now. And that was written 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of God was then. The kingdom of God will be. But what we've got to begin to understand that the kingdom of God is. And when we can begin to get our hands on that. And I just gave you a revelation because the kingdom of God is at hand. And we can get our hands on that. We can get our hands on the kingdom. Then we saw that concerning prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, and we prayed it this morning. Jesus told us in His prototype prayer, pray for the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Pray for the kingdom. And then we saw concerning the last days. Matthew 24, verse 14. We saw that Antichrist is not going to end this world, this system, this arrangement of things, this age. Gog and Magog's not going to end it. The beast isn't going to end it. What's some more? Nothing. What's going to end it? What's going to end it? What did Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 say? When the message of the kingdom is preached to all of the world as a witness unto me, then shall the end come. Then. So, we see in every facet, there's the message of the kingdom of God. So, we've got to need to have an understanding and a revelation of what we're talking about. What is the kingdom of God? We saw that the church is the present day instrument of the kingdom. We saw that Adam and his wife were kingdom instruments and their seed, their righteous seed, the seed of Seth. We saw that Noah and his wife and their righteous seed were instruments of the kingdom of God. We saw that the patriarchs and their wives and their righteous seed was instruments in the kingdom of God. We saw that Israel and Jehovah, Israel, Jehovah were married. Did you know that? Jeremiah said so. They were married. And they were instruments. Israel was an instrument in the kingdom of God. And Jesus and His wife is the instrument of the kingdom of God. And they're going to produce a seed. And that seed is the seed that will totally crush the serpent's head. That is the seed. And that's us. Because we're being produced from the woman. Now, I want to open some more thoughts to you along these lines today. And concerning some things. And what I want to look at now is terms. If I can get our terminology in line with Bible and the way that the Spirit of God flows with it, you'll begin to understand and get out of a thinking, because we've been trained to think that the kingdom of God is futuristic. If I can get us thinking that the kingdom of God is present, and get us out of a heavenly mentality and get us back down here where the kingdom of God really is. If I can do that tonight, then I'll accomplish what I want to do. So I want to look at tonight, I want to compare the terms kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. Now the term kingdom of God is used 55 times. In Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John. And then it's used 16 more times in the epistles and Revelation, giving us a grand total of 71 times in the New Testament Greek that the term kingdom of God is used. Total of 71 times. If we compare this with the kingdom of heaven, we'll find that the term kingdom of heaven is used 32 times. But it's only used in one book. Now you need to know this. The term kingdom of heaven is only used in one book of your Bible. Now that was interesting to me when I saw that. Saw this several years ago, and when I saw this, then it got me curious as to what it meant. Why is this? The term kingdom of heaven is only used in one book in the Bible. Who can tell me what it is? Okay, I'll just tell you. But all right, who said that? Exclusively in Matthew. Exclusively. You'll find the term kingdom of heaven used in the book of Matthew only. Now, you'll find the heavenly kingdom in Timothy. But you won't find the term kingdom of heaven in any other book in the Bible except Matthew. And he uses it a lot, 32 times. Now, what I'm trying to do is show you that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is identical. There's no difference. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Then we're going to look at lots of Scripture. And verse 49. Acts chapter 7, verse 49. And tell me from that verse, what is heaven? Give me a Bible definition of heaven. The throne of God. Heaven is God's throne. Now, what I'm trying to get us to see is that we're still talking kingdom even when we're talking heaven. Because what kingdom is what a king rules. And throne typifies the rulership, the kingdom. Because he that sits on the throne rules. And so what we're talking about is this throne, which is heaven. Heaven is God's throne. Heaven is the throne of God. So we're talking about the same thing here. When we say the term kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, we're really talking about the same thing. And I want to show you in scriptures now. So let's go back to the book of Matthew, and you'll need two fingers, because we're going to compare some scriptures in the book of Matthew and compare some scriptures in the book of Mark. And I want to show you that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same thing. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4, and at the same time grab Mark chapter 1. Matthew chapter 4 and Mark chapter 1. Just going to teach tonight. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Is that what your Bible says? All right, now look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14, and we'll read 14 and 15. And it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand.'" Do you see that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in those two scriptures are the same? Do you see that? Now let's move on. Let's look at some more. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. And I'm going to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Two fingers. And by the way, folks, I haven't as yet given us a warmed over First Assembly of God message. Everything has been new, hasn't it, folks? Hasn't it? We haven't got any chewed up stuff already. This is fresh. I haven't taught this here. So, but in Matthew, I just wanted you to know. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall..." Wait, is that what I want? Okay, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, Matthew using the term kingdom of heaven. And back over there now in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 20. While you're there, I'm going to read again. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's what Matthew says. And then Luke says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, 'Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God.'" Do you see they're the same thing? All right. Matthew chapter 10. And Luke chapter 9. Pardon? Which one? The ones we just did? Matthew chapter 10. I haven't got the verses yet. It'll be Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, and Luke 9, verse 2. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. He's sending out his disciples here. And in verse 7 he says, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven,'" Matthew says, "'is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip,'" and so forth and so on. And he goes on and says, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it." And he goes on, you know the story. "Shake the dust off your feet," down there in verse 14. "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house, the city, shake the dust off of your feet." Now over there in Luke chapter 9, Matthew saying kingdom of heaven, Luke saying, and in verse 2, well, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over the devils and to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, scripts, neither, and so forth and so on. And then in verse 5, and whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Do you see that Matthew is using the term kingdom of heaven, which is God's throne, and Mark and Luke and John and the rest of the Bible uses the kingdom of God. Matthew just used kingdom of heaven. It was his prerogative. He wrote the book. And it's the same thing, because heaven is where God's throne is. Heaven is God's throne. That's where he rules. And if he wanted to use the kingdom of heaven, then that's okay with me. But what we've got to see is that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is the same thing. Are we seeing that? Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Mark chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew uses, is like to the grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. All right, it's talking about the mustard seed, and it's the kingdom of heaven. Now look in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 30 and 31. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Matthew uses kingdom of heaven. Mark uses kingdom of God. Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Same thing. You see it? Okay, we're about to establish this. There's a couple more. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 14 and Mark chapter 10. Verse 14. Matthew 19 and 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew uses kingdom of heaven. Mark chapter 10, verse 14. Mark 10, verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Matthew uses kingdom of heaven exclusively. Everybody else uses the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23 and 24. And Luke chapter 18, 24 and 25. A lot of scripture, but I think you're seeing something, aren't you? Luke 18, 24 and 25. Matthew 19, 23 and 24. Matthew 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there he's talking about the rich man entering into the kingdom of heaven. Now let's see what Luke says about it in Luke 18. Verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now go back to where we were in Matthew. And I just want to show you from this particular passage of Scripture that it's the same thing even in Matthew. And verse 23 again. This time I'll read 23 and 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. In verse 23. In verse 24 he says, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." So it was just Matthew's prerogative to use the term kingdom of heaven. And he used it 32 times. 32 times Matthew uses the term kingdom of heaven, and all the other writers use the term kingdom of God. Now that was interesting to me because it helped me understand they're the same thing. I haven't got to try to figure out two different kingdoms. I haven't got to try to figure out that there's one here and there's one out yonder. You know, if it's the kingdom of God or if it's the kingdom of heaven, it's got the same king. And it's got the same ruler. And I know what we're talking about. I don't care if you give me the term kingdom of heaven or the term kingdom of God, or if I read it in the scriptures, I know what I'm talking about because it's the same thing. So all I've got to know is what it is. Other terms, well, let's look at a couple of more thoughts here. Let's look at the born-again principle that Matthew uses and then the born-again principle that John uses. So look at Matthew 18. We're right here at 19. So Matthew 18 and verse 3, and we're going to compare that with John 3:3. See if we're getting born again into the same kingdom. Whether some of us are in the kingdom of heaven and some of us are in the kingdom of God, or if we're all in the same kingdom. Matthew 18, verse 3, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Do you see that? You got to be converted and become as a little child. You got to be born again. "Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And the way John says it in John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So they're the same kingdoms. There's not one out there and one down here. There's not one you'll go into when you die and pass away. There's not two different kingdoms. There's one kingdom of God. And it's the same thing whether you say kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It's the same kingdom. Other terms for the kingdom is this. In Matthew 13 and 41, it's described as the kingdom of the Son of Man. In Revelation 1 and 9, it's described as the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 4:1, it's described as the kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5:5, it's described as the kingdom of Christ and of God. In Revelation 11:15, it's described as the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And in Revelation 12:10, it's described as kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. In Colossians 1:13, it's described as kingdom of His dear Son. But how many kingdoms are there? 15, 20? One. And no matter if I use the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of His dear Son or the kingdom of light, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Now, and I'll probably get on this maybe a little bit next week, but how many kingdoms really are there in the universe? Real spiritual kingdoms. How many? Two. Kingdom of God, or the kingdom of light, or all these kingdoms that we've just mentioned to you, or the kingdom of darkness. That's it. So we're talking, when I say kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of light, all those different terms describe one kingdom. The kingdom of our God and of His Christ and of our Lord. And that's all of us. God, the Son, and us, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
That's right. His anointing, His Christ. So, what I've just tried to show you and get across to you is there is no difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is God's throne, Acts 7:49. Matthew used the kingdom of heaven. He is the only New Testament writer who used it. Do we understand that principle? Have we got understanding now? That there's only one kingdom. Okay. Only one kingdom of God. Now, I want to go now and just back over to this little book that I wrote several years back, which is I'm teaching from it. And what I want to show you is, where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? And I think where we need to start at is in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. The Pharisees came to Jesus and they wanted to know, when is the kingdom of God? When is the kingdom of God? How many of us still want to know, when is the kingdom of God? When's it going to happen? Because for some reason we associate that with everything. We associate that when with the coming of the Lord and that when with the millennial reign. We associate when is the kingdom of God with the coming of Jesus. And we shouldn't. Because look at verse 7, chapter 17 of Luke and verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees. How many understand that Pharisees always want to demand something out of you? When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And the Amplified Bible does a pretty good job on that because it really lets you see that it doesn't come with your hearing and your tasting and your touch and your smell. It's not going to come with your five natural senses. It's not a kingdom in the natural. It's not that kind of a kingdom because we're not wrestling with natural things. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. But what are we wrestling with? Principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're wrestling in a spiritual realm. And he says that it's not going to come with your observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, nor lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. And different versions come across a little bit different here. The NIV Bible says, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come visibly. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is. Because the kingdom of God is within you. And in the margin says, among you. The Amplified Bible says, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he replied to them by saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display. Nor will people say, look, here it is, or see, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. The New American Standard says, it's in the midst of you. It's in the midst of you. It's here. And if you'll study the tabernacle of Moses, you'll find that that tabernacle is always in the midst of the congregation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you and my words abide in you, he says, the Father and I will come and make our abode in you. The kingdom of God is in you. It's among you. It's at hand. You can spiritually grasp it. But only spiritually, because you can't come with observation. And this was such an interesting passage of Scripture to me because here was the Pharisees asking about the kingdom of God. And the one that they were asking was the king of the kingdom. And he's standing there, you know, and I can see these Pharisees. When's he going to come? When's it going to happen? They're always, Pharisees always, when's it going to happen? And I just saw there that we haven't changed a whole lot. Because there stood the king right at their hand. They said, the kingdom of God is at hand. They could have reached out and touched him. And John the Revelator did say in 1 John chapter 1, he says, we handled the word of life. There stood the king of the kingdom. It was there in their midst. And he said, it's in the midst of you. And we're still looking for the kingdom to come. And Jesus is still saying, he's in the midst of you. That one beside you and that one behind you in front of you. That's the kingdom of God. It's in our midst. You can reach out and grab it. It's at hand. We haven't changed. We still want to know, when is it coming? One day we're going to understand. One day we're going to understand. Then he told them it's not coming with observation. It's not going to be a visible thing. Signs and all those things aren't going to be the way you're going to be able to tell it. He says it's there. I thought that was such an interesting passage of Scripture when I went in. When you really dive into it and you begin to understand that I'm not future and I'm not past. I'm now, and the kingdom of God is in me. So it must be now. It can't be out yonder, and it can't just be back then when Jesus was here. He says it's in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is in you. That's the first place you got to understand that the kingdom of God is, that it's within us. And the second place we need to understand is that the kingdom of God is not only within you. And I want to just amplify this just a tad bit. So let's look at let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And verse 26 and 27, and this is a mystery, and we all could just about quote this. Paul revealing here the mystery, and he says, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what I want to amplify here is that term Christ. If you look it up in your concordances, you'll find that it's 5547 in the Strong's Concordance, and it's the Greek word Christos, and it means anointed, that is, the Messiah. Vine says it means anointed. The single title Christos is sometimes used without the articles to signify the one who by His Holy Spirit and power indwells believers and molds their character in conformity to His likeness. Now, how many understand that Jesus was a prophet, a priest, and He's a king? Is that true? Jesus is a prophet, a priest, and a king. And Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, right? And where is He? What if I just then told you that you have the potential within you of being prophet, priest, and king? And the amazing thing about that thought is there was three people in the Old Testament who were anointed, who had the oil poured upon them and were anointed with the holy oil. You know who they were? Prophets, and priests, and kings. And He says that you have Christ in you. You have an anointing in you. Within you is the possibility of a prophet, the possibility of a priest, the possibility of a king in you. There's an anointing in you. There's the kingdom of God in the midst of you. And then in Romans chapter 1, well, let's look at it because you need it. Romans chapter 1. No. Is that what I want? No, it's not Romans 1. Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not natural things. It's not meat and drink. But what is it? It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you can understand that, if you can understand that the kingdom of God, that this is a scriptural definition of the kingdom of God. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And if I'm not having righteousness and if I'm not having peace and if I'm not having joy, am I in the kingdom of God? Talk. Something's happening, isn't it? I'm alleviating from what's within me and I'm walking in another light or another darkness. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when I get out of that frame of spirituality, then I'm dwelling in areas that I shouldn't be dwelling. And I'm not in the proper kingdom. And I'm moving in a realm that I don't need to be moving in. And the amazing things about this is that a prophet was to tell the oracles or told man what God said. That's righteousness. When you can begin to hear righteousness from God, you're going to hear what God's saying. And the priest produces peace because He's going to show you how to have fellowship with God and have God have fellowship with you. He's going to show you the proper ways to communicate with God, and that's going to develop peace. So the prophet's going to be righteousness. The priest is going to produce peace. And what's the king going to produce? Joy. Because all that he's going to do is rule and reign in your life in the kingdom of God. And if you're walking in the kingdom of God, you're going to be full of joy. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. So you have the prophet, priest, king. You have the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is the kingdom of God? Within you. The kingdom of God is a spiritual thing. The kingdom of God is not something that we're thinking out there someplace or something that has been, but it is now. And it's in you. And it's Christ in you. It's a mystery. I don't know how all it works. I just know what the Bible says. And I know that it says that there's Christ in me. And it talks about the Christ meaning the anointed one. And Jesus is a prophet, priest, and a king. And there were three people anointed in the Old Testament, prophet, priest, and king. And they produced righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. That's what the Christ in you produces, is righteousness and peace and joy through the prophet, priest, and king ministry. But it's got to be in the Holy Ghost. So the second thing that I'm wanting you to see is that the kingdom of God is the Christ in you producing through you the kingdom of God in righteousness and peace and joy. Then it says it's in the Holy Ghost, which we just looked at. So that's the third place you've got to understand. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God functions from the Christ from within. And the kingdom of God is the Holy Ghost. It's the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. And then John 14:23 tells us, from John 14:23, that He makes His abode in us. That we are actually the mansion. Matthew chapter 4. Trying to show you some principles about what the kingdom is. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, and then again, we can look at Mark 1:14-15, but we don't really need to. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we looked at these earlier. And it says that from that time Jesus began to preach the kingdom and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand." Now, where is the kingdom? At hand. It's within you. It's at hand. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to get you to see that the kingdom of God isn't out there. When is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? You got it. And if we can get out of a futuristic way of thinking, a futuristic mentality, and begin that and understand that God wants us to begin to grasp back and take back what the devil has taken and used and perverted and warped us with and used and abused us with, if we can understand that He doesn't want us to do it tomorrow or next week or next year or in the millennial reign, He wants us to do it when?
Now.
Because the kingdom of God is now. And the kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God is in you. And the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom. You see, it's not something that's going to happen. Now, the millennial reign is going to happen. Don't confuse them. But what's happening now? What's happening now? What's happening now? The kingdom is happening now. You're part of the kingdom. You're a king's kid. Amen. My big brother is Jesus Christ. I'm a king's kid. Well, so you're seeing, I think, what I'm wanting you to see, that it's now. It's at hand. But if I can go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. If I can get you to see this point, then I'll show you what the kingdom of God is, where the kingdom of God is, and when the kingdom of God is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What the kingdom of God is where Jesus Christ is Lord. The kingdom of God is within you. But the kingdom of God is only that's within you that Jesus Christ is Lord of. The kingdom of God is at hand. But it's only those things that are at hand in which Jesus Christ is Lord of. The kingdom of God is in my family. But it's only the kingdom of God of what Jesus Christ is Lord of in my family. The kingdom of God is in this church, but it's only what Jesus Christ is Lord of in this church. Amen. The kingdom of God is in this city, and it's now. It don't have to wait, and it's not just past. It's now, but it's only what Jesus Christ is Lord of in this city. Everything else in me, in my family, in this church, in this city, if it's not under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it's not in the kingdom of God. Amen. Should it be? Every knee should bow. Every knee, every tongue should confess that He's Lord to the glory of God. That is the kingdom of God. He's within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's at hand. It's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, it's all of those things. But it's what Jesus Christ is Lord of. That is the kingdom of God. Now, let's be honest. There's areas in my life that are not under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You? Anybody here? Can you say that? Okay. Should it be? Yes. Every knee in my life, every tongue in my life should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the kingdom of God. What about in our family? Are there areas of our family that maybe isn't under the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Our church, surely our city. You see the principle that I'm projecting to you. What the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Anything out of that is not in the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God is within you. It's the Christ nature in you. It's the prophet, priest, and king in you. It's the anointing in you. Anything else is not in the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God is what Jesus Christ is Lord of. What He's not Lord of is not the kingdom of God. Didn't say you wasn't saved. Galatians chapter 5. And I'm through. Looked at a lot of scripture tonight. Didn't say you wasn't saved. Just said that aspect of your life was not in the kingdom of God. Verse 18. Well, 17. 16. It gets gooder. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now is the flesh in the kingdom? According to what we've just talked about. Is the flesh in the kingdom of God? Is the spirit realm? Is that thing that's in your life that's under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the spirit of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, is that in the kingdom of God? Yeah, that's what we're having here. We're having a conflict, you see. One, Armageddon, lusting of the flesh and the spirit realm clashing. They have Armageddon going on all the time. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary, opposite. One to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these, are manifest. I think there's 17 of them. Not sure. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. Can you be saved and have these in your life?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You can have this in your life and be saved. Let's go on. They were just trying to get you. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, and emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, rivalings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit are these. Now, I want to go into the kingdom. But if I've got these things in my life, then that's not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going into the kingdom in its fullness. Now, that's heavy, and I don't want to get into it. So forget I said some of that. But I'll get it later. But anyway, what I'm trying to get you to see here is that we got to get our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. If it's not under the lordship of Jesus Christ, if I've got adultery in my life, according to that scripture, do I go into the kingdom? Will I inherit the kingdom of God?
No.
Am I saved? Sure. So you got to understand that what the kingdom of God is not something that you're going to feel, taste, touch, hear. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual kingdom. And it's something that's now. I feel like I've confused some people. The kingdom of God's not complicated. Are we seeing that it's not complicated? Have I confused anyone? Have I clarified anything? Okay. I got some nods, and most people just sat there and looked at me. But the thing is that the kingdom of God is, it's within you, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's the areas of your life that is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the kingdom of God. Things that are not righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, things that are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, are not in the kingdom of God. Now, am I clear? Don't know. She don't know either. Let me just, is there any questions? It's better. Have you kind of got what I've tried to project to you? When is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? Right. Who is the Lord of the kingdom? Is there any difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Then I think we've gotten somewhere. All right? Let's think.